Welcome, my friends, to Minutes with Monica. I'm always excited about the topics. This is a continuation of some of the things that I've been doing. And so I am just excited to kind of end on this note. If you are not familiar with some of the resources that I have out there, if you check out monicaswank.org, there's tons of resources, blogs, podcasts, videos, resources you can use in your own time. And I'm always working on some new topic for you and how you approach it from the space that you're in. We're all different, right? So at some point I need to impact all of us at a different level. And so I'm hoping that you find something in that space that works for you. Really, really exciting news. I've been doing a ton of editing, and I'm currently uploading an ebook, and that should be out for you, and I'll provide more information for you on that at the next podcast. So really excited. If you haven't, are not aware that I've done that in the past, or you're not aware of those options to you, it will be a workbook that will help transition some things in our personal lives into a deeper faith with God. So true dependence, if you have not heard about this in the past. And be careful, because I have a book titled True Dependence, and this is True Dependence, a study book. So very different. Not completely different. The one works off of the other, but one works through the process with you as an individual, or if you choose to do it as a group. Anyhow, enough about that. If you've listened or seen some of the other resources that I've been putting out during the last month, then you're going to understand that this draws them to a close in a sense. If not, that's okay. But I've been talking about the influences of parents. We all have them in some form. Maybe you don't have natural parents and you have adoptive parents. Maybe you don't have parents, but you have guardians. It doesn't matter. It's the influence of those people who have raised us up into who we are today. And that topic has touched on many different things, very small bits and pieces of them, because you can only do so much in a blog or in a podcast, but it has touched on that. It's this idea of what impact they have on us, from understanding that to understanding how we are who we are through understanding them. Let me say that again, because that sounded really weird. So that is also includes some of the things that I've done. It also includes how we understand ourselves through understanding them better. And in this podcast, I want to talk about how we use that knowledge to make healthy changes in ourselves. All of us are always seeking some kind of new healthy place in our lives, right? Whether it's exercise or just spiritual space, or I don't know, self-improvement in any way. Are we get haircuts all the time? Especially if you're a woman, you get a haircut all the time to better your looks. I'm sure men do the same. I know a couple of them. But anyhow, I want to touch on I want to follow through with this, on how we use that knowledge to make these healthy changes inside of us. So these changes come in more than one way. It's not just physical. It's not just mental or emotional. It's not just spiritual. It's all of those pieces combined. So when you're talking about making change, this is a really important change in our lives, because it impacts every aspect of who we are. And my take on it is that I believe the Bible makes multiple references about parenting. And one idea that comes to mind is the fact that parents have the ability to impact us for good or bad. And we've talked about that. I've talked about that in other resources this month. The other part of that is that we're not responsible. The Bible calls it, we're not responsible for the sins of our parents. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit more about them, but let me talk about both of these for just a minute. And the one I'm going to just really briefly touch on is the first one is that it reflects this idea of learned behavior, that our parents model lifestyle for us. And what they do, we tend to do. But this isn't a guarantee. Bible doesn't say that's who you will be. When we establish, as parents, when we establish strong places that are healthy, children come back to that space. And the Bible does talk about that a little bit. I'm really just scratching the surface here, guys. There's so much wealth in these topics that you can't understand until you dig into them a little bit deeper and really do a study on those things. But I want to tell you that this is the space in which I'm coming from, right? That they do model this lifestyle for us. This is our example. You know that. You're a logical human being. You know that just from having had someone raise you. You understand that. But the second idea that I mentioned there, that not being responsible for the sins of our parents, that's really what I want to talk about here. Let me give you just a few examples. And my goodness, again, we're in this small little time frame, and so I can't cover everything, and I can't touch on every example, but let me just give you a few to start with. The food we eat, whether we smoke or we drink, the people we fall in love with, oh, that's a fun one, the activities we pursue, they all have some original influence from our childhood homes. See, whether we choose to embrace those behaviors that were familiar to us and were part of our lives in that space, or we push back against them and move as far away from any connection with them as possible, they all impact us, right? Even that moving away, because if you decide that's not the space you want to be in, it's because you were in that space. Okay, so I just recently did a podcast, and if you want a little bit more information on this, you can look at that podcast. It's titled, Do I Really Act Like My Dad? There is a lot of important little pieces in there. I tend to knit things together so you have enough resource, you can go back and discover what it is you need in your own personal life. I don't know what it is exactly you're looking for. But what I want to share with you today is how we move beyond what seems like a natural or a normal standard of behavior and patterns for our families. Whew, that's a mouthful. Think about it. Think about how difficult that is to do. How we move beyond what seems like a natural or normal standard of behavior. Behavior that's ingrained. And patterns, thought patterns, right? For our families, thought patterns are engraved as well. So how do we move beyond those? To do what I'm going to do today, to explain it, I'm going to use really extreme situation. And while it does seem outside of maybe a norm that you deal with, and it's more than likely not your life, there is really a lot that we can take away from that. And I say that even, I'm going to focus on a female's role in this, but men actually can grasp a lot from this too. And I don't touch on how men grow into adulthood having this childhood experience, but there is much to be said about that. And it does impact men just as much as it impacts women. But again, I'm using an extreme situation here. And if we think about this, it helps us to gain perspective for maybe the smaller, less critical choices that we make in life and the smaller and less critical choices we have to move away from. Okay? So stay with me just for a minute. Like I said, I'm using a broad scenario, but if it hits home, I hope that you will hear, above everything else you hear today, you will hear that there is a healing truth in it, rather than focus in on the negative. So here's my example. Let's say that the picture of childhood you have is of a promiscuous mother, okay? Let's say she is divorced early on due to multiple affairs. Let's say she has multiple relationships. Maybe it's with men, maybe it's with men and women. And she's regularly introducing you, as a child, to these new people in her life. She dresses inappropriately, and where this comes into play is that it bothers you as a young child to go in public with her. And for you, there's easy access to pornography, and there's no boundaries set up for you as a child concerning sexual behaviors. Let's say that's the base you start from. Again, very extreme situation here. More than likely not yours, but take away the rest of it and apply it to smaller changes in your own personal life. So here's a few things that might happen to you as a child. You're either going to accept those behaviors, even if there's a conflict in your mind between right and wrong, you either accept the behaviors and adapt them into your own life, which means you in turn model them and you act on them, or you resist them. You push back, you say, I don't want that life for myself, and you resist allowing them into your life. So I'm not focusing on that, but on what really today, what my focus is on is how you adjust your thought patterns and behaviors to create a healthier space if it's this resisting that you're focusing on. Because whatever you choose is irrelevant about shifting how you were raised, about shifting the patterns in which you were brought up to think and believe and to act, okay? So what I'm going to talk about today is how you adjust your thought patterns and behaviors for a healthier space in you. Big step. First, you have to determine if there is conflict in you concerning these modeled actions. Remember I talked about I talked about that in the dresses inappropriately, right? If they impact you. Is there conflict in you, right or wrong? I'm not sure how I believe or I think it's this way, but this is all I know. So you have to determine if there's conflict in you concerning these modeled actions. And how do they leave you feeling? Emotions are important. We can't deny them. Men, I hear you resisting that, but you know what? You can't deny feelings, because we are a whole person and they exist for a reason, okay? If you're male, typically you're gonna act on feelings in a whole different way than a woman is gonna act on feelings. You're not as driven, but they do have an underlying force for you. So how do they leave you feeling? How does this behavior of your parents leave you feeling? And if you don't experience discomfort or contradiction, and I hate to tell you this, but you're probably not ready to make changes, and that's okay. Go back to the drawing board, my friends, if you're not ready to make that changes, and really think about this process. Think about what it is inside of you that's pushing you to wonder a little bit about this, but not quite at the place where you need to do something to make the change. There's lots of things in our lives that happen like that, right? We determine, oh, I'm not in the healthiest space physically that I want to be in, so I want to join the local gym. But there's there's that pushback. We don't always join the local gym. So it's not any different here in this space. Okay, don't make this harder than it is. It's really not as hard as it seems. It just feels that way at times. Okay, so another factor that might play into this is, how do these things that we were raised up to believe, the patterns of thought and the patterns of behavior in our early childhood, how do they impact the self-image that you have? If it's negative or derogatory in any way, then you might be ready. And this is from where I want to start, this readiness. So let's say, because I have to choose one and I can relate to this, let's say, well, I can't relate to the story. My mom would die if she thought that's what I was saying, because that wasn't my mom. But I can relate from being a young girl, right? So let's say you're a young girl and you've had this promiscuous mother. And as you grow, you begin to feel inferior as a teenager. And then you feel that way as a woman. And it's all due to this lifestyle that your mother kept. Maybe your self-talk is something like this. I'm not pretty enough to get a man. I'm not sexually attractive. And men are only physically attracted to women, and I just don't measure up. I'm not making fun, my friends. We all have self-talk. A lot of us have negative self-talk. These are the places in which some of the people that I study talk about. Dr. Chris Thurman calls this self-lies. And Dr. Daniel Siegel refers to this when he determines that we have the ability to reshape our physical brain patterns. And the first step is in the recognition of what causes these thoughts. The second is this honest admission that they're not truths. That's a hard place to get to, my friend. I've talked about that before in other resources, but it's difficult to get to this place where we admit to ourselves that these are not truths and we've been living into them. Let me tell you, if you're 50 and you're trying to make this change, you've been living into this for 30 years. That's not easy to admit, because it shifts the way you have been doing life. And one of my favorite things to say is, give yourself grace. You're human. Give yourself grace and offer some forgiveness for yourself. Okay? First step, recognizing what causes them. Second step, honest admission that they're not true. And the third is a determination to overcome them and create a healthier space for you. Okay. Again, I'm touching on the surface here, my friend. But look at this example again. When we make the decision to lose weight, and I had to recently do this in my mind, I had to reconcile that it literally took me 4 years to get to the weight I'm at now. And this is the same mentality we need when we approach psychological changes. It's not as simple as flipping a switch in our minds. I wish it was. I wish we could just flip that switch and we'd be different, right? We have to relearn. It's not as hard as it sounds, but it's also not as easy as it sounds. Dr. Siegel says that we also need others who feed us positivity. Oh my gosh. So that's a word in the Christian world that stirs up some tension. And I know a lot of Christians are pushing back against that idea, but there's nothing wrong with positivity. And let me convert this for you if you're struggling in that space. But let's think about it as a spiritual thing for just a minute. Jesus tells us that he will transform us daily. And the new church was established around community, but not just any community. If you look at the arguments and the debates that go on and how they established this church, there are really some key factors in that. And these men and women were learning how to dedicate themselves to uphold each other. Because part of our relearning is leaning into people who not only feed us positivity, but who feed us the real spiritual truth about the image of human beings. But you can't just expect them to know what to do. Just because the church has been around for a lot of years, it doesn't mean they know what to do. Let's say you take on this responsibility of seeking change. You need to work through the few steps. Remember, I identified them earlier, and then determine the changes needed. Let me take you to a different place real quick. Dr. Segal talks about the need for integration, okay? Life integration in multiple ways. He's really focused on the work of the brain. That's what his work is on. He's an MD, and that's what he focuses on. So he talks about the need for integration in the mind, but so does Jesus. One sets the focus on the mind, and the other sets the mind on the spirit. Let me show you these two distinct yet similar ideas, and again, just scratching surface here. Dr. Segal talks about integration of consciousness, or to put it in an easier term, stabilizing our mind. And there's so much behind that. So just hear that. And Jesus says we learn self-control. Dr. Segal says we need to synchronize our left and right sides of our brains, or the logical and the imaginative parts of our brains. Jesus says we gain justification through faith. Dr. Segal says getting our mind and body on the same wavelength impacts change. Jesus says learning and allowing peace to determine all manner of living. Dr. Segal says understanding and aligning our implicit and explicit memories. Don't have time in this space to explain those. You can look them up. Understanding and aligning our implicit and explicit memories is important. Jesus says experiencing real joy through acceptance of our life experiences. Dr. Segal says accepting our multiple selves in which we respond to life. Accepting our multiple selves in which we respond to life. If you're 50, you've had more than one self in those years. I'm not talking about in your mind. I'm talking about in the way you've lived. Jesus says we need to learn how to love who we are. If you're curious, I'm just going to give him a, recognition here. Dr. Segal, the book that I take a lot of this from is called Mindsight, The New Science of Personal Transformation. So if you're looking for that resource, that's where I get that information from. And Jesus I get from the Bible. Not that you didn't know that, but anyhow. So these are only a few thoughts, and I briefly explained, as, again, I only have a short amount of time to do that. But as you attempt to approach these ideas, it is important to know that without a comparison, this will be much harder to do. There are self-help books. There are multiple resources on my website alone. And if you just hit Google with the right search words, there are endless options. Not sure those are the greatest, but there are some good options out there. So that is an option for you. But when you need to focus in on getting healing and changing patterns established from the womb, my friends, from the womb, this goes way back into our adulthood, then the best options require something or someone more personal. And I lean into that someone more personal. And again, I know that I've used extreme patterns of behavior to explain this situation. But what I wanted you to see is that we have the ability to move away from these established patterns of thoughts and behaviors we develop through the influence of our family. We're not stuck in them. And while you may not have something quite as big to shift from, maybe you only have a nagging thing that you want to shift. It may just be this thing that gets in the way enough that it interferes with your close relationships, or maybe it's a voice that you carry around in your head that pokes at when you're trying to accomplish some task. Maybe it's work related, right? Maybe it's not just in our day to day. Over a life that is given to Christ, these changes can occur. I want to touch on this piece a little bit. But there are things that have to be present if we establish patterns from youth and if we choose not to naturally lean into them. Sometimes the belief that Jesus will do the work makes us believe that it's like magic and some wand is waved over us and then we'll just stop some behavior or thought. And I'm not trying to make light here, my friend. I want you to understand and hear the challenges that go into this, not insurmountable challenges, just challenges that go into this. And I want to speak from my own past just for a second to show you that this is not a false belief that I'm saying. I'll show you that this is a false belief that Jesus can just instantaneously make this change in us. I'm not saying he can't. I'm just saying that's not the established norm for how Jesus works. When I was a young mom, I carried around so much self-doubt that I was a harsh mom. And when I was a young woman, just beginning to experience relationships with the opposite sex, opposite gender, I believe that sexuality was the way to develop those relationships. And you know what? Neither one of those things worked out for me. And I knew they weren't. And something led me to Christ. And when I became a follower, my goodness, I'm stumbling over words today. When I became a follower of Christ, something that was very, very difficult for me happened. These patterns didn't change right away. Not only was I disappointed, I spent far too much time worrying that I would always be this way. And I want you to understand something. Jesus is more than capable of making these changes without us, my friend. He doesn't need us to do the work, but he does need us to be willing to see ourselves honestly. He does need us to be open to change, especially when it feels counter to who we are or if it feels unnatural. So how did I begin to make these changes? Because I'm not a harsh mom anymore and I don't carry around that self-doubt. It pokes its nose in a little bit sometimes, but it's not there consistently in my life. So how did I make changes? Well, I spent 5 years in seminary learning the truths about who humans were designed to be. And I spent countless hours redefining myself through these truths. I didn't do this on my own. I had the guidance of men and women that led me in these classes. So what I have to say next, I want you to hear from my heart. This podcast is not a plug for my ongoing services. I want for you what I have. I want you to know that life patterns are reshapable. I want you to know that there is peace that endures in your life. I want you to know that there is truth and joy in living. And if you're ready to make some of these changes, I encourage you to seek someone who can be objective. Again, it does not need to be my own personal services. It could be a counselor. It could be a spiritual mentor, a pastor. But I think the value is that this person will not only be able to hear you, but they're going to be able to reflect back things to you. That's incredibly valuable as you make these changes. And it's not something you're going to understand until you're on the healthier side of things, or until you've made that small change. If you don't know where to look, you don't have those resources available, I suggest to you, you do. I do individual and group sessions, helping people to find this place of peace in their own lives. You just have to reach out to me in some way. You can find that on my homepage again, monicaswank.org. You can send me a message through Messenger at Facebook at facebook.com/monicaswank.org. There's multiple ways to reach me, and I do offer this. I have some of you who might be listening thinking, well, I'm your friend and I can't do that, but I don't think I agree 100% with that. Just because you're my friend doesn't mean I can't help you walk through places in your life to get you to peace. This is not counseling what I do. It's spiritual mentoring, my friend. Anyhow, all of that there so you know that there are resources available for you. I'm going to end for today, but I want you to be encouraged. My friend, I am always praying for you, always. And I'm always in the background cheering you on. I ask the Lord to bring to those people who need to hear. I ask Him to bring you to this place. So if you're here, there might be a reason. And I know that you can be the best you. I know you were designed to be the best you. Thank you, my friend, for allowing me to journey through life with you. I love you. Blessings in your day.